Well, I will say, let's kick it off for open discussion first off, because this was probably the most exciting chapter yet. It only took 10 game hours to get there, but maybe 11. But I will say that they did finish strong, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree.
I know that Stanton already played it, but Chris Clark, what'd you think overall?
I thought it was great. It's funny because I was really satisfied with the ending, and then I Googled something about the ending, and I saw all these articles about people who just didn't like the ending, and I was like, I was happy, you know?
Yeah. Well, it just depends on what ending they chose.
Yeah, I
I
guess
mean,
that's true. I mean, I like the
that's
ending I chose. If they chose a jerky ending, that's their fault.
exactly.
Oh.
That's their own fault. Well, we do live in a society today that will blame other people for their own stupid decisions, so
That's
there you
true.
go.
Yeah.
That's true.
Why stop at video game decisions?
Exactly.
So,
Well, video
well,
games are to blame for everything, so.
yes, that's true. But, let's kind of just get into it without further ado here, because we have a lot to kind of cover, so. I'd like to leave sort of the end to kind of just talk about, again, overall thoughts, like just as the game in general. So I
Yes.
want to get to that too. But one of the things that I noticed when I was playing, and it's something I hadn't even thought of until it came up, was the destruction of innocence seems to come up a few times in this episode. Max even mentions it a couple of times, and at one other point, it's sort of, I forget who it does it, but it mentions it in passing.
Well,
Might
it's
be
Mr.
Chloe, actually.
Jefferson. That's his whole thing, is like watching their innocence be destroyed. That's why he
True.
takes his
Barf.
pictures.
True. Even before that, though, I noticed it was coming up. Sort of
Yeah.
like they were trying to show us, like, this is what the theme of the game is. But, I mean, is it something that, I guess the question I want to propose is it something that we see in gradual decline in Max and Chloe, or are we able to spot it since the beginning? And why or why not? Because personally, I don't know if I did spot it right away. I think it actually had to be told to me. It wasn't quite as obvious to me.
I think looking back, you could kind of see it at that point where, there was a slow decline, especially with Chloe. So yeah, I mean it definitely did feel like there was an overall theme of it, whether it was banging you over the head with it or not. But yeah, so
I personally could, I'm sorry, Chris, go on.
Okay, yeah. I just thought it was really like that whole theme was really apparent with Chloe right at the end when she's moved from like there was she was always this rebellious character, whatever. But there was sort of an innocence about that, like this sort of I can get away with that because I'm young and stupid
True.
and whatever. And then
Yeah.
at the end, she's like, I accept that death might just be what there is, you know. And that's definitely a loss of that rebellious innocence she had.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I noticed it in Max, and I didn't notice it in Chloe at all, but then when Chris, you saying that, like I can totally see that looking back on the game. But I did notice it in Max going through the game, yes.
I will say, I noticed it more in Max because she was the one living through each choice every time. Like when Chloe shot Frank, I mean, she didn't necessarily even know what happened because Max rewound and fixed it, you know? So she could have left it alone and allowed her innocence to be shattered, but Max was, well, I guess us as Max were always thinking about Chloe's best interest. And it's interesting. I mean, I didn't necessarily see. I kind of saw them just always as already broken a little bit. Chloe, for sure, been through a lot. Her innocence was lost, I think, when her father died. So I just assumed they were already fractured people. I never didn't really see a decline. And so at the end, I mean, yeah, going through what they went through at the end was horrible and would destroy anybody's innocence, what's left of it anyway. So I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a good way of wrapping it up and kind of a good theme, but I didn't know if I saw it all the way through. I kind of bought that they were already rebellious and kind of tainted.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. Yeah, but I think Chris Clark, you brought a good point up about Chloe.
Thank you. I try.
Yeah, make sure you specify which Chris, because we'll all take credit
exactly.
for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Got stuff. Okay, so going to the next question. So the episode opens up with quite the reveal of Mr. Jefferson, and him and Max have a nice discussion, I guess you would say, when she was lucid, unfortunately. Did you find Mr. Jefferson's duplicity, did you find that it was written as believable, or do you think that it was a bit over the top?
I think he definitely had the TV or movie villain type of you know, role there, where, you know, it was you know, old man Smith that was doing it the whole time, you know, type of thing, and, you know, Scooby-Doo Adventures.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't necessarily know if it'd be believable in real life, but, yeah. You know, definitely with that trope and, like, the character of Mr. Jefferson as, you know, as fictional storylines go, I think it was believable.
Yeah.
I thought it was believable, especially because, and they showed it by forcing you to do the flashbacks and whatever. There were a lot of things earlier in the game that very subtly hinted at it, like when he has his little line about, I could corner any of you in a dark corner in a moment of desperation or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just, all the things about his character that had seemed out of character, suddenly once I understood what was wrong with him, I instantly was like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I noticed that line in the last time that she was in the classroom when she was, like, going inside of a reality into another reality. That's the first time that I noticed him saying that. And so I didn't know if it was something to do with that kind of dreamlike state that she was in, or if it was actually something that he said in the class earlier on. Because if so, I never even noticed him saying it.
Yeah, I mean, going back through the flashbacks, definitely remembered some of the things you said were a little bit sketchy.
Yeah.
But. Which I think is just a sign of some really clever writing. Like, they hinted at it without letting us know, which is just really well done.
Yeah, I agree.
They're very movie-esque.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the next talk point here. I'm trying to read it, and I didn't actually read it ahead of time. Is that your thought?
Yeah, Steph, right? I mean, yeah. So just the whole thing with so Jefferson is, like, talking to Max, and he is about ready to dose her again before David bursts in, and then you have to, like, rewind to warn David, and then you have to, like, you know, kick the table towards him.
Yeah.
How many times it took me, and I even, because I think I've said before, like, I've seen most of this game streamed. I'm on Twitch. I've even seen this part before, and it took me probably, like, oh gosh, I'm going to guess, like, 12 times before I even got close to getting it right.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 or 6, but that's still a lot more than most aspects of this game.
I just remember trying to rewind just to the right part, because I was either too soon or too far back.
And he just, like, decks you with the tripod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my game froze up, so then I had to redo the whole
thing. That happened to me, too. She just kept saying, I have to go back and save David. I'm like, I know.
And you couldn't do anything. I know. Well, that's my thing, because you use a console, don't you, Chris?
I do, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. That's
the
crazy.
First time that whole game that it's glitched up on me like that.
Jeez.
I was so aggravated.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that part was it was one of those tedious parts again, because I'll tell you right now, I tried to kick that table way before it even told me to.
Yeah.
I knew I had to do something with it, but it wouldn't ever, it wouldn't give me, like, sometimes in this game you have to look at the precise point to do it.
Or you have to wait for something to happen, and then...
Yeah, and I couldn't tell which of which was which scenario had to manifest first. Like, I wasn't sure if I had to wait for something to happen. I couldn't figure it out, and then all of a sudden it was just like, kick table. I'm like, yes, kick table!
Yeah, I can finally do it!
Kick the table! And then, of course, I could, like, trip them with the wire. So that was all pretty straightforward after that. It was cool. I thought it was a little anticlimactic. I wanted to see him, like, blow him away, but what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, you can have him get executed.
Yeah.
Who?
If you play your cards right, David, even though he's knocked out, he just gets him in the back of the head with his gun.
Yeah.
He shoots him?
And then he's just lying in a puddle of blood on the floor. It's
awesome.
kind of disturbing.
Yeah, that kind of goes on with our next question on if you guys told David the truth about Chloe. Because if you did, he shot him.
Yeah, I did the first time, and I was like, I mean, this guy just saved my life, he deserves the truth, and I'm going to go back in time and fix it anyway, so what's it matter? And then he shoots the guy, and I'm like, whoa, gotta fix this.
That's exactly what I did.
Like, cuffed?
Yeah. Yeah.
He just blows him away? That's awesome.
Yeah. Because he's so distraught about Chloe being dead.
He's like, I screwed up being a stepdad, protecting my family, and then he's just like, well, screw you.
And for a second, I was scared that he was going to turn the gun on himself. Like, he was really depressed about it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I left him dead.
Did you really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, that's just a little dark. Okay.
But he had probable cause. So I don't think that, just not being on this side of the law, I don't think that he would get in trouble for, you know.
Well, if he hadn't shot a bound and unconscious man, if he had shot him in the middle of the fight, but after knocking him out and tying him up and then shooting him, law's probably not on his side anymore.
Max didn't see anything.
It's true.
Like,
I mean,
they could have.
They could have, like, they could have set it up. If they had to, but still.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just had a feeling that he was going to break free of his restraints and come after us.
I didn't know that. He could die.
Yeah, you're like regretting not killing him.
Well, because, you know, he's one of those guys where, like, I mean, he, after everything he did, I mean, for me, whenever I watched
several
movie,
people.
I know.
Yeah, no, he's
truly
despicable.
Yeah, but, like, whenever you watch a movie where they set up this bad guy, like, you just want to see him die. Like, that's the whole point of watching it to the end. You know?
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, I was like, he just cuffs him and then goes, looks on his computer? That's it? But he did go to jail in my game, and that was all good. It made the newspaper and everything.
So what happened if you left him dead, Chris?
Nothing, really. Because you end up changing...
True.
I mean... everything you do doesn't, well, depending on the ending, everything you do doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So,
Chris, you said that you couldn't save the guy who was trapped in the burning room.
I tried so many different things, but I could not save the fisherman.
I saved him.
Okay, so, I didn't save him either, but I think you have to enter the room. You have to, like, put out the fire and
you put out
the
fire.
Room.
Go in while he's dead, then rewind till he's back alive.
I couldn't figure out how to put the fire out, though. That's the thing.
There's a fuse. There's like the thing that kills him. Didn't you pull the sprinklers?
Oh, okay. So I pulled the fuse, and then it, like, shocked him. And I was like, oh, God, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, the first time I did it, like, obviously it killed him, and I was like, no!
Upset. So I rewound, and I'm like, alright, there's going to be a different way. And I couldn't find another way, so I just got frustrated. I'm like, sorry, guy, I gotta go.
Don't get me wrong, I killed him more than that times than I needed to, because I could not figure out what to do either.
Yeah, he's had a lot of deaths.
Poor guy.
I didn't figure it out until I was stepping through... the hole, like, to get back outside, and then it was too late. I couldn't rewind, and I was geez.
Yeah, I figured it out, and then during the dream sequence, he actually thanks you for saving him.
That's sweet.
Of course, I let him die anyway in the end, so what does it matter?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Oh, wait, in the end you destroyed the town?
I did.
Wow. That's awesome.
I sure did.
Devil
well,
care.
I mean, we can talk about that more in a little bit, but
yeah.
we'll get to that. So. I was curious, though. I proposed this question, because I definitely did. Any different feelings toward Nathan Prescott after you find out sort of what happened to him?
I feel sorry for him.
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for what I did to him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he deserved some of the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, bringing a gun into the dorm room, really. Mm-hmm. Like, or even into the school to begin with, too. There's just, you know, there's just some things you don't do no matter what circumstances there are.
Yeah.
See, I felt sorry for him, and, like, I understood more where he was coming from, but not enough to excuse his actions.
Exactly.
You know, it was too much, just way too much.
I don't think I excuse his actions at all. I think that I more or less was like, dang, this guy was taken advantage of because he's obviously disturbed, and this guy saw it, you know. And I felt sorry that he was dead. I just felt sad that he was killed, you know.
Yeah.
I actually did feel quite sad. I was like, dang, they killed Nathan. I hated Nathan. But the fact that he was murdered basically as a scapegoat, you know.
Yeah. And basically, nothing, like, really nothing, I mean, other than Mr. Jefferson telling you that, like, nothing was really, you know, there wasn't any resolution. Yeah, but of course there wasn't any resolution, but it just felt like, you know, it was just kind of left hanging there.
Well, he's not, if you don't save the town, or if you do save the town, then he's not dead.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that was my resolution. I like to think that in jail he got counseling and help and whatnot.
Hopefully so.
And then rotted in the cell.
Yeah, rotted in a cell, but more mentally sound. That's my, yeah.
So one of the other things that come up is about Max sort of people claiming that she's a hero. Saving people, and, you know, Chloe often refers to her as a hero. You know, with your superpowers, we're going to do this and that. And she's always seemingly modest, at least in my perspective, but is she also maybe just kind of insecure and says and doesn't really believe in herself?
I'd say, yeah. I think she's really insecure.
Yeah, but also in the other aspect of, you know, when you talk to other people who do heroic things, it's really more of kind of almost modesty in a way where, you know, the way they look at it is, well, if you were in the same situation, you'd probably be doing the same thing type of thing, so.
But I think when it comes to Max, the reason why I'm not giving her that much credit is because without this power, like, if there was any consequences to having to be a hero, she wouldn't be a hero. At least in my opinion.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think she would do all these heroic things just like anybody else would if she didn't have these powers.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I guess if anybody else had these powers, they would do it too. I don't know. So it's whatever.
Yeah.
And then if Chloe wasn't around, she wouldn't, even if she had the powers, probably wouldn't really be doing much of anything.
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of want to go back through it now and think about how many times she was pushed to use her powers. You know?
Yeah, quite a bit.
I mean, I think that Max is a really good person. I think that she, because, I mean, I definitely could relate to her, even though she's like a teenage girl. I think as an artist myself, someone who understands that world, I mean, we're all gamers, but we all know what it's like to maybe feel a little bit like an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that world, like, is very real to someone who's, you know, maybe quieter, misunderstood, and looked down upon because they're a little bit quirkier than others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And really, we get to hear Max's thoughts, and they're always, like, on the right track. You know, she at least wants to help people. She's out there to, you know, make the world a better place, even though she makes mistakes all the time.
Right.
So I think that was really cool. Yeah, I didn't really think about that till the end.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to look at it. Is I think that her, I think that the power, you know, like what Chris was saying, you know, kind of gave her the ability to help people. You know, I think that she would just be too timid probably beforehand, before the powers, to have taken a step in the directions that she took, you know, with her powers.
Which I think is kind of a shame because, like Bowden was saying, you know, she's a good person. Like, we can hear in her mind that, like, she has the desire to do the right thing, just not necessarily the ability.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and there are hundreds of people, you know, thousands of people like that, you know.
Yep. It's interesting. Sorry, just one final thought.
No, go ahead.
And then you can go ahead. I think it's really interesting because I'll just say, because it's a small group tonight, and you guys all know me, but one of the reasons I think game chat is so important is because I really believe in, I mean, how many gamers do we know that don't have friends, don't have, you know, a social life, really? They're kind of awkward. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, here we are chatting, and we're all pretty, like, functional nerds, right?
Mm-hmm. I like to think so.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Speak for yourself.
But there are a lot of people, I mean, I spend a lot of time at conventions, you see a lot of rogue wolves, you know, just kind of out there, head buried in their DS, you know, not talking to anybody, like, look terrified when you talk to them.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome to have, like, a place like Game Chat where people can come and kind of just be a part of something.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, I don't know, it's just interesting how it kind of just speaks, this character speaks to what we're trying to do here, you know, create a place where the people who are otherwise cast out can be safe, you know. So I just thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. Community is awesome.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Steph. Take it away.
So how much? When Max is going back through the completely destroyed city, you know, town. She stops the diner to get the picture from Warren, and Frank's there. And I don't think that you had to talk to him, but you could, and you could tell him that Rachel, you know, you could give him information about Rachel's death, or, you know, how much information did you guys give him, or if you talked to him at all?
I told him about Rachel.
This did is Ben again?
It's when she goes back to the diner to get the picture from Warren. Frank is behind the counter on the floor. And Joyce is treating, you know, kind of helping him.
Yeah.
And you can tell him that Rachel is dead. You can also tell him, which I did too, and I was kind of upset that I did afterwards because it really, but I thought, but anyways, you can tell him that it was basically kind of hint at that it was his drugs that he sold to Nathan that killed Rachel in the overdose.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like I did with David, I told him the truth the first time, but then, like, just seeing how emotionally wrecked he was, I was like, I'm about to change this timeline anyway. I might as well, you know, for the few seconds that this guy exists in this reality, before I obliterate it, however time travel works, you know, I'm going to let him be happy, you know?
I thought it was kind of important to tell. I mean, at first, like, I was like, oh, like, I didn't like how I reacted to him telling, you know, to me kind of informing him that his drugs are kind of what killed Rachel, because he did have this drop. But I was like, you know, it's kind of nice that he kind of realizes, you know, what his business, quote unquote, is, you know, does to people.
I didn't talk to him at all.
You didn't talk to him at all?
No. No, and for no other reason other than the fact that, like, at that point, I was kind of like, I don't want to talk to any more people. That's the truth. I know. It sounds awful, but I was like, I just want to get the picture from Warren and get out of here.
Did you help Alyssa?
I did help.
Out of the burning building?
I saved the people. I saved the electrocuting guy. I helped Alyssa, and I helped the other guy who was trapped. But in the diner, I mean, I saw a couple people, and I saw Frank, and I was like, you know what? I don't know what more I can say to him. I just didn't. I didn't want to get into it.
let's just say that I was really excited to see the end. We'll just go with that.
I mean, it was a tense moment. You wanted to get through it, you know?
Exactly.
No, what you were excited for, Chris, was to get to the diner to kiss Warren. Right?
I did not kiss him. Nor did I hug him. I didn't want him thinking he was friend zoned till the end.
I hugged him.
Yeah, I gave him a hug. I thought, you know, a hug at least. I hug my friends. You know?
Yeah. He was pretty scared. The poor guy was shaking, basically.
He seemed fine. Really?
Yeah.
And also, his face is still bruised.
I know.
I was like, a hug, I can give you a hug.
I just didn't want him getting any, like, apocalyptic ideas about what he might get out of me.
Jeez.
You know, last day. Wow. I was like, no, dude. What? I'm just saying.
I thought it was interesting that, like, according to the stats at the end, the majority of people, like, overwhelming majority, kissed him. And I was like, who are these people?
It's a little much.
Just wanna...
How do you kiss him?
Yeah.
Do you kiss him after you hug him?
No. You can choose hug, kiss, or do nothing.
Oh, I only got hug or walk away. I didn't know.
Maybe because you friend-zoned him so much.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, I never even...
You didn't agree to go ape with him, did you?
No, I didn't go ape.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Oh, I agreed to go ape with him.
We all went ape.
See? Because he was planning to go ape with you at the end of the...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. You catch him while I'm throwing. Anyways. So, I kind of want to just talk a little bit more about this scene, because this is kind of where it all comes to a head. Let's sort of talk about actually the moments leading up before that, the dream sequence, because that was pretty intense. That was probably one of the first times in the game where I felt really overwhelmed emotionally, just kind of like seeing all this unfold. You run into other Max in the diner.
Oh yeah.
And she kind of talks. She starts calling you a hypocrite.
B-Max.
What's that?
B-Max.
Yeah, he calls B-Max a hypocrite. And I kind of was thinking that it was partly true, but what we're hearing here can only exist in Max's mind. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this wasn't like an alternate reality, right?
Right?
I mean,
wasn't. Right.
So, is she feeling, like, do you think she's finally getting that maybe I shouldn't have messed with this stuff? I was selfish. Maybe I shouldn't have done all this to save Chloe, you know. What do you guys think about that? I mean, do you think she was in over her head at this point?
Well, I was really fascinated by this part because I'm not sure that this was necessarily just in her imagination, like that particular conversation, because it raises this question about the whole, multiple dimensions, multiverse theory, whatever. Is it possible that there is one Max consciousness that has the ability to hop between multiverse dimensions and is just like going from dimension to dimension, wrecking stuff for the other Maxes?
Wow.
Because that, if she just walked in, had a conversation with this Max whose life was screwed up because this was the timeline where she failed to do something, you know? Yeah.
But wouldn't the other Maxes have to be then cognitively aware that there are other Maxes? I guess they would be.
Because
control time.
The way I was thinking of it is, you know, so if she's able to hop from dimension to dimension, she's basically taking over for this dimension's Max for the period that she stays there until she's like, oh, I'm sick of this, gonna rewind, whatever, and hop to a new timeline.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, the game doesn't make it clear if that's what they're getting at or not, but that was one of the ideas I had, at least.
Wow. That's good.
I really like time travel stories, so I was getting into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that the way I took it was kind of those self-defeating voices that we all hear, you know, like how you're not going to measure up and how you're no good, and maybe I'm the only one who hears those. But, you know, there are certain times in your life where you might make a decision and you're unsure about it, which I think every decision, you can never be certain.
Right.
But I think that's kind of what she was wrestling with. And I mean, I definitely thought that, Clark. I thought that
maybe this is a real thing. You know, she's actually talking to this other Max. And I think that's definitely a plausible theory.
Yeah.
But I want to believe that she was just wrestling with this, you know, and I don't know. Just
I know.
Kind of humanize her.
It's like, you know, did this power manifest itself as another Max and kind of like,
right,
you know, berating her for all these mistakes and decisions she's made and, you know, how much she screwed up and all this stuff. And you know, that's the one thing that I kind of liked about this episode too, is it really screws around with your mind.
It does.
And that was, I mean, part of what makes the game as a whole so great, especially this episode, is it's just, it's so open to interpretation at this point in the game. Like, it just, there's so much thinking, you know, just trying to understand it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, and even other Max aside, the entire dreamlike sequence of her hiding from Mr. Jefferson and hiding from Warren, and plus even like her being in the snow globe on the shelf back at Chloe's house when she was younger, all of that kind of, I mean, even other Max aside, all of that, to me at least, spoke to her insecurities. And her insecurities were brought forefront and center in most of those scenarios. And just her fear, her insecurities, her fear of her powers, her fear of herself, of the future. So that was what was really brought out to me during all of that. And plus, it was just really cool.
Yeah, agreed. I liked that part with Kate when you walk in, that whole part. Did you guys, like...
Oh, yeah.
...get a chance to walk around as the other avatars? Like, did you... Like, I became Victoria at one point.
Yeah.
That was weird. It seemed to, like, whoever's room you went in, that's who you were. I was Kate, and then I was Victoria. I was like, I want to be Victoria.
Get me out of here.
Quickly getting out of that body. That was kind of cool. Did anybody else become anyone else?
I think I became both. I know I became Victoria, but I had a little bit of trouble figuring out the right doors to go through, so I was getting flustered.
Yeah, that was a weird part. Like, I found a key, and it was, like, to Rachel's room or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was bizarre.
Yeah.
Did I liked see how the that giant scene squirrels? Was directed.
Yeah, I did.
Giant squirrels?
Yeah.
If you look out the window, there's the giant squirrels that you then see from the snow globe. It's the same ones.
I did not see the giant squirrels.
Yeah, you get to take a picture of them.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, really? Look, giant squirrels, click.
Did you guys get the photo of yourself in the dark room? The photo
yes.
op?
Yes.
Yes,
I did.
I don't know if I did or not.
Largely because I kept picking the wrong options.
Yeah,
what is it? You ask Jefferson
to take
one last picture.
Oh, yeah, I rewound. It didn't work out for me.
Oh.
I don't know. Something happened, and it was a bad outcome, so I had to go back.
Do you want a picture of yourself in a torture chamber?
No, I don't.
That was a really creepy thing to have happen.
Yeah, I don't put this in my diary. I really don't remember this day.
And then I had Jefferson turn on the music, and that was even weirder, because some kind of strange, like, song that kind of eerily went along with the whole situation, but was kind of like an upbeat oldie song or something, if I remember.
Yeah.
Yes. But all right, well, why don't we talk about a little bit about the end, because we're kind of getting to that point. So we've already talked about the dark room. Let's talk about the decision of saving Chloe or saving Arcadia Bay. Let's just kind of go around and mention what we did, because it's a small group. So I did not save Arcadia Bay. I saved Chloe.
I saved Arcadia Bay.
This was another kind of decision I struggled with a bit, too. Because it was like, alright, so what do I do? You know, Chloe's all gung-ho about, you know, sacrificing herself to save the bay. But then do I stick with her because, you know, I kind of screwed her over a lot during the game and, you know, stick with her and everything. Yeah, but then, you know, if I do that, then I kill everyone in Arcadia Bay. And, you know, ultimately I decided to to sacrifice Chloe, because out of everything that was that had been done, and yes, you know, Chloe was her best friend, I don't think Max would have been able to really live with herself or forgive right. herself if she did choose to stick with Chloe.
Yeah. Yeah. I saved the town. Only because, well, and it wasn't, see, I, because where I'd seen the stream before, I had seen the person I watched chose the ending where she saved Chloe. And to me, it just seemed really selfish because, I mean, there were families, you know, and then plus they kind of leave even without, like, Chloe even trying to save her mom. She's just like, well, forget ya. You know, I'm heading out of here.
Yeah.
And I was not satisfied with that. And so I went with saving the town and I felt good for it. And also because, like, in playing the game myself, like, you know, and it kind of talks about that towards the end, you know, right before you have to make the decision, is that, you know, saving Chloe, I mean, you know, and I didn't really think about it until Chloe brought it up herself just then, was that, you know, the game kept, or this, you know, life kept trying to kill her after Max saved her. And so, to me, I'm just like, well, obviously, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, it must just be her time to go. You know, and I messed with something saving her, so I need to make it right and unfortunately sacrifice her. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't really overthink it. To me, it was kind of a no-brainer. I felt so connected to Chloe at that point that I couldn't imagine letting her die after everything we'd been through. It was just... And I saw the people of Arcadia Bay, the ones that I did know, as kind of unredeemable in a way. They just were very fractured people. I kind of felt like it was purgatory. I know it sounds really dramatic, but I just felt like they were already gonna meet their doom. And there's nothing I could do about it anyway. I felt like saving them...
defeatist.
Yeah, well, I just felt like, you know, all the people I interacted with were so, like, just self-centered
and what about Joyce? What about Kate? There were some really good people. There were some good people in Arcadia Bay. They were not bad.
So just Joyce and Kate? Because I think it's like, just Joyce and Kate.
Just like Warren. Well, Warren's a good guy.
And what was it, Carlos?
Yeah, Carlos. Carlos was a cool dude. There were all kinds of people.
Well, first of all, it didn't kill everyone. I mean, some people survived.
No, it wiped them out.
I think it killed everyone.
Yeah.
Did it show any survivors?
No, but how can you? I mean, how can people survive tornadoes?
That was a freaking huge tornado. It was like a city-destroying tornado. Everyone
died.
This
was not a regular tornado.
That thing could have, like, sucked up a state, dude.
I'm working on
no
this.
No one survived that.
No, you just committed genocide against
us. We're not trying to make you feel better at all.
I'm not trying to make myself feel better. I don't care if they're all dead. I mean, the thing is, I just saw a deeper connection with Chloe than I did to Arcadia Bay. Felt like what Arcadia Bay did to these girls was really traumatic. Like, I almost saw it as them wiping this stain, this blemish from the relationship and moving on to a newer beginning that they could forget this horrible place.
So you're just going to keep running as life tries to kill Chloe again and again because you messed with some kind of continuum.
I know, right? Well, that's the thing. I mean, I do agree with you guys.
You're going to be saving Chloe for the rest of your life.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, there comes a point where I was also kind of in too deep. And I didn't want to just like, oh, well, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you should have died in that bathroom. You know, and I kind of feel like, why did I just play this whole game then? You know? But
just from Max's journey.
I was happy with the end I chose. I was okay with it.
That's good.
But the question remains, though, and I think, Steph, you mentioned this maybe. Would you, put yourself in that position, think you could do that? I mean, if thinking of your best friend,
if it meant saving an entire town, yes, I could, because I put the lives of many over the lives of one.
See, it depends Because here's the thing: if you don't save her, then you kiss her before going back. Which I don't know if that implies more. Because I was thinking, so for example, if this is my wife, I would probably sacrifice a town rather than kill my wife. Like, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
So I guess it just depends. Like, my best friend? Yeah, I might kill my best friend to save a town. But my wife? No, I'd probably kill the town.
See, it is a tough decision. I don't think it's as black and white as they might make us think. I get what you're saying, Steph. Like, I agree with you in theory. I think the sacrifice of one to save many is far greater than the opposite, but...
I stick by my decision.
I think in the theme of the game, I just think that, I don't know. I guess in one way you can say, well, if Chloe died, she could maybe be with William, you know?
Yeah, and it's meant to be, I mean, obviously, since it's the last, like, huge decision you make in the game, it's meant to be a really, really tough decision.
Right.
And it's meant to make you think what we're talking about right now. Like, exactly. Well, why would you do it? Why would you... You know, would you choose this over this? You know, and so it succeeded in that point.
Well, you gotta wonder, like, then, what does it matter if you save Chloe or not? What if you then sacrifice her? So everything still happened? Does Mr. Jefferson still become a serial killer? Does Max even get saved from the dark room?
Yes, but, so basically...
I mean, how
everything
would that
gets reversed,
even...
but Max is able to tip off the police about Jefferson and everything that's going on.
Oh, it shows you if
you
sacrifice. Okay.
Like it shows Jefferson being escorted out of the school in handcuffs by the police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very satisfying.
I did see some of that, but I don't know. Anyways. Oh, I guess I saw the newspaper. That was before this, though. It's kind of hard to keep up with it towards the end there. It kept jumping around.
Yeah,
it's really hard to keep track of.
Chris, how are we doing on time?
We're about 40-ish minutes in.
Okay. I kind of wanted to talk about the lighthouse a little bit. And sort of what significance it had, if any. Because, you know, it comes up in the very first episode... You never really hear about it again until maybe 4-ish, and then definitely chapter 5, when, you know, it's sort of this, I don't know, sanctuary, if you will. Like, that's the safe area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think they used it as the metaphor of what, you know, a lighthouse actually is. It's to warn people to stay away and kind of a safety net in a way, too. So, because of that,
symbolic.
You know, it's kind of the safe zone in the whole game there, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the place that, I mean, it seems like it's the place that they all kind of run to. You know, I mean, I think Max has been at the lighthouse, like, several times during the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think that it was meant to have a metaphorical meaning? Think we're just pulling it out of the hat?
I think so.
I think it was intentional. I thought that they would play more heavily on it than they did.
Yeah.
But I think as it was, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
I have a question that is not in the notes. Mm-hmm. Do you guys play another Life is Strange game? Let's say it's different setting, different concept, different characters. But same kind of gameplay.
I would.
You would?
Yeah, I definitely would.
I love it.
I actually
probably only would for this.
What? Having only for this group?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, having after playing through this and enjoying it, like I went and I looked up the developers Don't Nod to see what else they'd done, and they did Remember Me, which I only got halfway through and then got distracted and haven't been back to finish, but I really enjoyed that one as well. So I'm interested to see their next game is like Vampyr or something like that. So, and it's about being a World War II doctor who's also a vampire, so you have to make ethical choices. Yeah. Look it up. There's a 1 minute long teaser worth watching and worth reading about. But anyway, so I'm very excited to see what comes out of this studio here on out, because I really like what they do.
Mm-hmm.
they're really good at making you play with choice, and also both in Remember Me and in Life is Strange, they've played with the concept of time in a very interesting way.
They did Remember Me?
Yeah, they did.
Wasn't that a Capcom game?
Published by Capcom. They were the developers.
Okay, I didn't know that. That got mixed reviews. Did you like that game?
The half of it I played, I liked. But I mean, I guess it's not a great testament to it that I didn't play all the way through. But I mean, just life got busy. That's the only reason I didn't.
I mean, I guess I would play if they... I mean, I think that this was their first sort of shot at this style of game. I mean, I don't know what Remember Me was like, but it was more of an action game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, action with some puzzle sequences.
Ooh.
But, like, interesting, like, memory manipulation puzzles. So it was really interesting in the same way that this one was, but with more of an action focus.
The vampire one sounds kind of cool, actually. I will say that I felt like the choices I made in this game were a little bit more impactful to the story than something like in a Walking Dead Telltale game. Because those feel more fixed, even though you are making a decision that changes the game. Yeah, I just think that Life is Strange, like, they would very often refer to something you did. Like, for instance, when Kate kills herself, like, she's dead in the game, and that changes the way characters talk about things.
Yeah.
Unlike, even though she comes back to life, no matter what you do in the end, right? I mean, because of the whole time shift. But, like,
right.
You know, when Lonzo let her die, I mean, he that means he never got texts from her, he never visited her in the hospital.
Yeah, true. You know,
no one ever talked about her being alive, right? True. So it's a whole different experience socially, which I think is really cool. And then Telltale, I think, like, you know, you have two characters, one of them can die, but no matter what, like, nothing much really changes significantly, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot more scripted. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Show-esque.
Exactly.
Though, I felt that way up until the end. I was a little bit frustrated with a binary choice. Because I felt like having two choices is fine, but I was hoping that, you know, getting whichever one you chose, there would be some consequences from your earlier choices built in.
Mm. Yeah, that would be nice.
Which was actually, it was funny. My wife is playing through the game because I've been telling her about how great it is. She's only at chapter 3, but I finished it, and she asked me, hey, when you get to the end, do you get to see the result of all your choices? And I was like, not really. You just choose. So, yeah.
I did appreciate in the dream sequence how you walked through and kind of saw the game again. Played, like, you saw the moments that you lived through with Chloe. You know?
Yeah, the Disney ride sequence.
Yeah. That was clever. I thought that was really clever, actually.
It
kind of flipped the game on its head and brought us in. I mean, I will say I hated the stealth part, even though I got through it pretty quickly. I thought that was annoying, but I liked how they kind of were like, "Hey, we're gonna totally flip this game inside out right now."
Yeah.
I mean, other than that point.
Yeah.
You like the stealth part?
I did, only because I thought it just kind of, what I was mentioning earlier, and I think that's what I kind of really like about Max's character, is that she's so real. Like, you know, she has, like, it kind of goes along with her insecurities and her fear, and that part in the whole sequence, you know, the stealth part, you know, that we were hiding from people, I think really kind of played on that and really kind of highlighted that.
Interesting.
Just the different people that she were, you know, that she was hiding from, you know, because she was hiding from, like, Warren, and all these people were saying things, you know, that were scary to her or that she feared, or things about herself that, you know, that she didn't like, and, you know, that's what I, you know, enjoyed about it.
That's a good observation, actually.
And it was very dream. You know, of course it was dreamlike. It was meant to be that way, but I mean, it was, you know, I could see, like, myself having a dream like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of spooky and disjointed. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. It definitely made it feel like a movie and kind of took you out of the... My problem throughout was that it was so grounded in reality that it almost didn't feel like a game.
Well, I think now that's part of why Chapter 5 did a really good job of taking us out of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that because I was really dying for some you know, crescendos. Mm-hmm. I really needed some excitement, you know, and it came at the right time.
Yeah.
I will say this. When in the very beginning of Chapter 5, when you're in the chair, and then all of a sudden you figure out that you can look at the photo and you go, or I'm sorry, you go back and you fix everything, and then you're at the gallery. I was like, there's no way that was it. Like, I was mad. I was like, that's how they're going to wrap up this Mr. Jefferson thing? Just one stupid photograph? And I was so mad. And then, of course, you find out that there's way more to it than that. But
you know what thing I really loved? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was going to say, I thought for a moment that gallery, I'm like, I got to now walk around the gallery and talk to people.
Yeah, but yeah, then, I thought that was the end game as well, and I was like, nope.
So the other strange thing too, and you know, this is the one thing I liked most about episode 5 was that it really did, and as I said before, messed with your mind. It was the most psychologically creeped out that I've gotten with a game, and the weird thing too with the gallery was that it seemed like everyone around you realized that this wasn't real. Because if you talk to the principal, even he kind of hinted around it as well. And if you're on the plane and you look out the window, he kind of like comments about how, you know, it's really nothing outside the airplane window. And it's just, it was really strange going through that too, and kind of like coming to the realization that the people there, you know, knew that they weren't real. And then just like everything else that was going on, you know, especially when you're going through the dorm as different people, because you were expecting something to like jump out at you or something else going on, and it was just, like, really uncomfortable, but a good uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're running out of time. Let's just quickly kind of go around and give, like, a overall thoughts on the game, not necessarily, like, oh, you know, deep thoughts, just, it can be anything. We can let unleash our inner nerd. What did you like about the gameplay? What did you like about the graphics? What did you like about the story? Just a quick, like, synopsis. Maybe, and what I think would be cool to do, and I didn't talk to you about this, Steph, but stop me if you've heard this one.
Uh-huh.
I think it'd be cool for every game at the end, we just kind of, like, each of us say, on a scale from 1 to 10, I gave it a blah. 10 sure. being the best, 1 being the worst. I'm interested in what you guys think. So, should we, ladies first, if I'm not putting you in the spot?
No, let's... Let's go to someone else first.
All right, Chris. The other lady in the room.
Wow.
Which Chris, though?
Yeah, that's the question.
Are you talking about yourself? Talking
about. Yeah.
I will take that for the team. I think overall, I liked the game a lot. I did complain a lot. I was a negative Nancy throughout most of it, but I did like it. I think it did well for what it had to work with. I think it did take a little bit too long to get to the point, and that was frustrating for me just because of that kind of person. I like instant results, you know. But I think it definitely, if I was to play another game that they made, I would be more prepared for this. Mm-hmm. And I almost would rather not do it for a group because then I could take my time with it a little more and not kind of rush through chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Like I found myself kind of cramming, so I would do that, but... Yeah, I mean, the controls and the graphics, I mean, they were pretty standard. I mean, I didn't have any trouble with them, except for some of the puzzles being a little counterintuitive. Sort of convoluted and contrived at times, having to look things up and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think I overall, I'd give it about a 7.5.
Okay, well, I'll go next. I would say... Yeah, I think that I would probably give it an 8. I really, you know, even though you know, some of her dialogue, you know, Max's dialogue was kind of, you know, very teenish, you know, a little hard to relate with. Overall, like, I really related to Max as a character. You know, and I think it did well with character development. I think it did well with, just, you know, and with the whole thing with Chloe, like, I know at first, like, I was like, I just don't like this, you know, I just don't like her. Like, why is Max friends with this? You know, why am I wasting my time on her? But then you kind of grow to love her throughout the game, and which makes the last choice really, really hard. You know, if you choose to sacrifice her, that is. But, you know, but for the most part, like, I thought it was a very, very good game. The gameplay was, you know, I thought was well done. I thought that the choice, you know, the choices with everything worked well with the story. The only frustration I had was just that it got stuck up with rewinding quite a few times on my end. So I'd have to start over to the last checkpoint or sit there and watch, you know, the game go very, very slowly for about 5 minutes until the conversation was over. But other than that, like, I would, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I would definitely play more games like it for sure.
Cool. Well, the two Chris's can do good.
Next.
Up,
next?
Sure, I'll go next. I mean, someone's got to do it. Yeah, I think, okay, if I had to give it a rating out of 10, probably 8.5. Not quite a 9, but, you know, very, very good game. Mm-hmm. I really was blown away by the writing in this game. I studied writing in college. I really appreciate writing in games, and mm-hmm. often that's more important to me than the gameplay or graphics or anything mm-hmm. else, if it's especially well done, which in this case I'd say it was. And I just, it was enjoyable. I think part of why I really liked this game is because it was a really great example of why video games are important as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gave us an excellently written story that was excellently portrayed, but in a way that a movie, a TV show, or a book, or a play, or anything just couldn't do it.
Right.
Only a video game could portray this story in this way with this level of emotional impact. Mm-hmm. And so that was just really... just as a gamer, I was so, so in love with it for that reason. And, yeah, so I thought the game was great, really enjoyed it, and like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what Don't Nod does in the future, because mm-hmm. I really like their stuff.
We'll have to do the next one then.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I guess we're saving the best for last.
Best for last.
Wow. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
honest now.
So I'd give this game about an 8 out of 10. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought the writing was great and everything. The story, the relationships that you kind of build with the people throughout the game, you know, really kind of made you connect to the game better. Made the decisions that you had to make throughout the game way more than just playing a game. The only thing that I really didn't like, and I wish developers would stop doing this, is that you have a game that is... I don't want to call casual, but like easy to pick up and play along and not really have a whole lot of consequences to go along with how you're playing the game. Mm-hmm. And then near the end, they just kind of throw a wrench in the whole system mm-hmm. and really makes you have, you know, need to try harder to progress in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, the stealth was... good in a way, but then it was also, okay, well, we never had this in the game before.
Right.
And it felt kind of cheapened, too, because there were no consequences if you got caught. You just rewind time and progress forward. So that just, like, that put, like, a... a sour note with me on there, but I think once you actually got back in and started actually playing the game again, kind of helped ease that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, and as I've said before, it's just it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed episode 5 because of the fact that it just gets in your head and plays around with you and really kind of freaks you out in a way.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah, that's that.
Cool.
There you go.
What was your number rating?
8.
Okay.
Very good. Well, before we wrap, I'd like to just quickly give the floor to Steph so she can talk a little bit about White Knight details.
Oh, yeah. So are you guys playing White Knight, the other two Chris's?
Well, I haven't started it yet. I have it installed. I'm excited.
Right, yeah. So now we're starting White Knight, and that will begin next week. It'll be a 2-week game chat thing, because the game is divided into 6 chapters. We're doing 3 chapters the first week, which is about roughly about 2.5 hours, I would think, of gameplay. So about a chapter, you know, kind of going along the same time scale as a chapter of Life is Strange. But it's, again, it's kind of a noir-themed thriller. You play as a guy who wrecks an abandoned mansion, and you're, you know, kind of have to go through it and solve some mysteries and find out some incredible stuff about the people that live there. But it's spooky, it's dark, and I think it's very visually stimulating. They did some really good things with the graphics there and just with the style and with the gameplay part of it. So I'm really excited for us to have our next discussion about that. But yeah, so we'll be playing the first 3 chapters. So when you get to chapter 4, stop.
So they're pretty clearly marked, you said?
It's clearly marked. It tells you chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and then when you get to chapter 4, just, you know, save. Let it go.
Is there an autosave or...?
There's not an autosave, guys. There's no autosave. That's one of the most... But I have to, you know... At first, it can be very frustrating to me, personally, as a gamer. But then it's like, I think to myself, there are plenty of games, older games, some newer games, that are like this as well. I just haven't played any recently, because I've played games that autosave and that have spoiled me. So... there is no autosave. It will let you know what you do to save. I won't give that away. But the saves are, you know, kind of, you know, far between sometimes. So.
Good to know.
Yeah. But I'm excited because it's what I've played of so far. I've really enjoyed it. So.
Well, thank you for planning ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get one for the team. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, same time next week. Transistor, by the way, is going to be our 3rd game, and it's actually still on sale for $5, so if you haven't got it yet, grab it.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. I've been looking for an excuse to play that game forever, so thank you for giving me an excuse.
I tried it at PAX a couple years ago. It was interesting. I liked Bastion a lot better.
Yeah.
But, I barely scratched the surface of Transistor, so I really don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I really liked Bastion, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Bastion was great.
Yeah, it has some really good things about the story. Like, everyone raves about the story in Transistor, so I'm excited.
All right, well, Chris, Stanton, thanks for recording again.
Yep.
And
yes, thank you.
We are, just FYI, you can put it on your calendar, we'll remind you again, we're canceling, I believe, March 1st, right, Steph? We're going to postpone that meeting.
Yes, we're going to take a break that week.
Yes, we will not be meeting March 1st, and we're going to be canceling the Tuesday after PAX East, so, because there's going to be kind of not enough time to
It'd be just me.
Just Steph and...
myself.
So... Yeah. All right, well, thanks, everyone, for
thank you.
Coming, and those of you listening.
Yes.
Thanks. See you next time.
All right. Bye.
Adios, guys. Thanks again.
Bye.